There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen, and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned in to the best in paranormal talk radio. It's Thursday, and this is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. We have had a great week worth of shows. We've got another one coming up for you tomorrow, Mojave Mysteries. We're going to talk about demonic cults. We're going to talk about ghosts. We're going to talk about cryptids. We're going to talk about mysteries. There's some great things we're going to cover. Mike Behrman will be our guest tomorrow, plus a brand new Theater of the Mind. You will not want to miss that. Today, we're going to dip back into the world of Darkness Radio. When we were on for 11 years with Darkness Radio, a great guest that joined us often, we've had many of our listeners reach out and say, we need to hear more. What's going on with Robert Major and his sister, Antoinette, and the work that they're doing to help free people of spiritual energy, of ghosts and dark forces that may be imploding their lives. So just so happens that there are two new books out, and one is called The Invisible Epidemic, Ghosts That Interact With and Disrupt Living Human Beings by L. Sims, that talks about a lot of the work that Robert and his sister have done. There's also the book Biography of an Exorcist, which talks about the work that that they've worked on and done in doing so many of these clearings and bringing help. Robert, you're a clinical hypnotherapist. You're from Southern California, and you've spent, what am I right, about 12 years that you've been developing this technique with your team to try to diagnose and remove attachments and possessions from people?
That is correct, Dave. It's actually been a lot longer. When we first got introduced to our abilities, it's been almost 19 years.
All right, and talk to us a little bit about this. So for new listeners, how did you realize that this was a gift and a calling that was given to you?
Well, when we were doing some trance work, I started receiving communication through my sister that wasn't her. And through that, we were able to develop a lot of these gifts that were provided to us. But this was the one that I thought could make the biggest, greatest change, where we actually were active in what we're doing. So what we call them attachment removals. And we come to find out that so many people in the world are attached, and that they're causing so many problems in these people's lives. So we actually just provide the space and to get these people mentally healthy again, physically healthy again, depending on what effects the attachments have on them.
All right. And Antoinette, you've got this ability to kind of channel and get information regarding these people and what it is that they're dealing with. Has this ability, this channeling ability, been with you your whole life?
I developed it about, I believe, like 19 years ago. We kind of found it by accident. And so, and it was really interesting because it was kind of scary for me at first.
Antoinette, we accidentally find $5 in our jacket pocket we forgot about. We find a roll of candy in Grandpa's suit coat. How do we accidentally stumble on the fact that we can channel and get information from some other source?
Well, okay, so Bob was down one day, and I said, hey, there's something going on in my house. I keep seeing stuff out of my corner of my eye, right? And we finally found out it was a little ghost. He started communicating with me. And so that's when I found out, when I went into a deep trance, and there he was, just sitting.
All right, you're getting a little far out on me on audio. I don't know if you're moving away from the microphone or not.
No, I'm okay.
So you saw this ghost child.
I did.
And then you decided to try to connect with him to channel his spirit? Is that what you were working on?
We weren't working on it. We were just trying to figure out who was in the house and why. But under trance, it's weird. Like, you go into this different hole. I do go into a different dimension of sorts. And okay. He's just sitting right there. And he voiced everything to me, what he wanted and why it was there. And then we actually had to go and confirm what he was saying. And sure enough, it's true. And then we just went from there. And we went from there and we kept practicing going into a deep trance, seeing who's around, seeing what's going on. And then one day a spirit guide comes in and she's like the head of the spirit guides in this particular space I'm in. And then she conveys to me something about the young man I was watching at the time, babysitting him. And she wanted to convey that he's not being treated well at home. So those kind of things she started to say. And it kind of freaked me out, of course. And I told Bob, I was like, I don't know if we should be doing that because, you know, my heart's racing.
Right,
and
right.
I don't know. It was exciting, but it was scary. So, and then
was there ever a concern at the beginning that by opening yourself up to something like this, Antoinette, that you might end up possessed or having a major attachment?
Yes. And I've been attached several times. That's a big story. And over the years here, we've developed techniques to keep us relatively attachment free. We've had them, both of us.
So. Just recently, I'd say in the last 6 months, she was attached walking around a golf course. And she wasn't aware of it at the time, but all of a sudden she was losing her balance and they were causing her to actually fall to the ground.
Well, he's underplaying it a little bit. I was thrown to the ground. So I just tried to take off like I normally do on a fast walk, and it just felt like somebody picked me up and just tossed me down.
At a golf course?
The golf course is there, but it's actually a running trail.
Around it, yeah.
Okay, and what did you pick up? I mean, as somebody who's sensitive to this, could you figure out why an entity was attacking you this way?
I did not even pick up on it right then. I picked up on it when it threw me down four more times outside of my own home. And then
I have to ask real quickly, did you just have a weird noise go off in the background where you're at?
Yeah, it was some vehicle that.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Because as you're talking, it sounds like this over the microphone to me and headphones.
Yeah, somebody like on a souped up car.
Good. So it wasn't demonic voices surrounding Antoinette. I was going to have to end the interview real quickly. All right, I'm sorry. So let me get back to this. You couldn't sense what it was that was attacking you?
Not at first. I had said to Bob, I said, you know, maybe I'm attached. We better check because I've gotten thrown down by just taking one little step and then thrown to the ground. Like, I thought my hip broke. And then I was attached, and they didn't really give too much information except for they were around for a very long time down where I go walking and jogging every day.
But why violently attack you? What was the purpose? Just to get your attention?
I believe this. I believe that there's a lot of entities out there who are very vicious, and it's not really to get my attention. It's just because they figured they would just attack me. I mean, that's basically it.
They know what we do. And,
yeah.
I mean, she has another story where some guy comes up to her car outside of 7-Eleven and looks in the window and goes, I know what you do. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, and I had just pulled up just to go in 7-Eleven to get a soda, and I was like, oh. And then he kept looking back at me and, you know, making weird gestures, and I was like, whoa. And so I know that guy was attached, but we're really good at looking at people who are attached anyway.
All right. Well, Robert, when we talk about attached,
right.
Now it sounds like she was attacked. But how do we jump to the conclusion then that she has an attachment, that something, or what is maybe the best way to start this is, what is your definition of an attachment?
An attachment is conscious energy that's free floating around us. We really can't see them because our senses aren't open to them. But through hypnosis, we're able to basically discern who they are. What happens is that if there's a break, you have an energetic field around you that is it protects you. But if there are any cracks or fissures in there, that's how the energy can get in. Because I basically tell people, you're driving a car and you're the only pilot. But once a crack occurs, and it can occur at any time in your life, you can start accumulating these attachments. The more attachments you accumulate, the more powerful they become.
And you get these attachments, these spirits that are drawn to you. Is there a specific reason why they're drawn to one person over another?
Well, it depends on what you do in your life. Say you are a heroin addict. Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden now you're going to start attracting ghosts that were heroin addicts in their life because they still want to continually experience that.
Okay.
So, yeah, we had an individual who he was attached by 41, and they were basically all heroin addicts, and they were going to destroy him. He was going to be dead within 10 days or whatever. But with the removal, because that's the only way, if you have to remove them, because they compound the need for the drug. They're the ones who actually will prevent the healing or
well, that's a pretty big statement. I mean, a lot of times, you know, the medical community says it's the addiction to the drug itself that gets that, but you believe that it might be the spiritual attachment that is making the addiction so much stronger.
Stronger, exactly. Unless you take the attachments off, you're not going to have a whole lot of success no matter what kind of detox you go to. Or. So we were able to do the removal. The young man was successful in kicking the habit. But we believe, like, if we wouldn't have done the removal, there's no way he'd been successful.
Because he wasn't going anyways down for treatment. He was refusing it. And it's really the attachment that refused. And they make it so the person doesn't want to do anything. And how his mother got him to us is, you know, she was very thankful that we got them removed because he was so, he wasn't going to get his treatment that he needed.
Right.
And the attachments, like I said, they hold you like a hostage.
Yeah.
Well, so Robert, it's just like that, how are you utilizing hypnotherapy to kind of divinate who's attached and how do you reach out to those spirits?
Well, you know, we're connected. We not only have our team here, but we have a team on the other side. Everyone has a personal guide, and we work with a group of guides on the other side that assist us in depending on what we're doing. But we have two or three of them there that just exclusively work with us just for attachment. So we do what we can here. We go into the trance state. In that trance state, we open up this other dimension. While we're in that dimension, so many things can occur. We're just not gifted with this, but we can actually scan a body, tell us if they have health issues. We can talk to any animal because in that space, the communication is open.
Which we call trance channeling. So okay, that's the way I do it. I'm a channeler when I'm in trance, so I can channel the spirit guide.
She can move aside, and a guide can come in and take over her body, just like a possession can take over another.
How do we differentiate, then, between the fact that I'm just dealing with depression and, you know, that, as opposed to I'm being oppressed by a spirit that may have attached itself to me? How is there any way the layman can see that, or does he need a specialist like you that has the ability to kind of straddle these two worlds?
Yeah, that's the big thing. I mean, a lot of people get depressed, but the depression can actually cause an opening in that field. And then all of a sudden now we get seven or eight others that are totally depressed. And they come in, they compound it. So we know, like Robin Williams, we knew he had nine attachments on. And we know that they actually compounded his depression to the point of where he committed suicide. So our job is just to kind of to clear the people let them go back and deal with their issues by themselves, where it's not a compounded issue.
All right. Now, do you consider yourself an exorcist, Robert?
Well, I say this because this is what exorcism is. It's removing the evil spirit or whatever that has been around since biblical times and before. And that's really what it is. We've had some crazy stories. I mean,
crazy, wonderful stories.
Yeah. I mean, the girl who was chewing herself, she was attached by a cannibal that walked the earth 350 years ago. Now, if the regular layman were to look at that, they just say, oh man, she's really in bad shape. She is possessed or whatever. But for us, it's a 20-minute system where we meet with the person. We spend 20 minutes removing the attachments. And this poor girl, she was a special needs girl to begin with, and she was chewing herself to the bone, and they didn't know what to do with her. They said, well, do we have to strap her in where she can't do this? But we were able to sneak her out of the facilities that she was in while she was going to a doctor's appointment, and actually meet her in the special needs van, spent 15 minutes in there removing this thing, and that was 2 years ago. She never chewed herself again. So
what was her family skeptical of this? Were they like, this just sounds like hogwash? until you're able to strip that entity?
Oh, for her?
Right.
Oh no, they never knew that we actually did this. They weren't going to give us approval. This was kind of like on the sneak.
How did you know that she was having these problems then?
The caregiver knew us.
Okay.
And that's how we got the message. That's how we checked her. And that's how we were able to do it.
So the family never said, hey, why did she stop chewing herself?
Never knew, whatever. But we don't care.
Right.
As long as we get the job done. So, yeah, that was, and these are the things. I mean, we can't tell people.
So which one of you is actually doing that work? Is it Antoinette? That's
on that one, I actually did the pull.
All right. While you're doing the poll and you realize you're now facing some 350-year-old cannibal creature that's doing this, first of all, does it understand what you're doing? And isn't it fighting you to stay with this person that is an easy mark for them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so my part of this is when I'm in trance like that, I visually see it. So I can visually see how he's so he's crazy. It looks like he wants to get me, right? But Bob was actually doing the casting, which was cool. But they lean at me. They look at me in my face. They do a lot of different things. I'm not scared anymore.
But this guy, all his teeth are sharp. So into points. That's how serious he was of the cannibal. But he had actually had...
Wait, all of his teeth were filed to points?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what she could see. She was telling me, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, so he was all sharp.
And you, in 15 minutes, you get in it and you grab this obviously strong entity and you're able to cast it out. Where does it go then, Bob? Does it run down the street and attach to somebody else?
Well, that's then it would be fruitless for us to do what we do. No, because we work with the other side. So there is somebody there that we pass on the energy who sends it back to where it should be.
And this is a young man who passed in the World Trade Center. This is who we're working with now. He is a spirit guide, and he actually helps when I'm standing. When he comes into my body, he will pull, and then he just gets handed off and to the wherever it goes with the next spirit guide. That's how it goes, and it's called casting.
Yeah, when they were casting it out. And that's what it looks like. It looks like you're grabbing something and casting it, like, away. And so it's a technique that because we do a lot of research here, and we go back in time, and we're very curious because we know this skill was available thousands of years ago, but they don't recognize it now. They treat it as a physical affliction versus a spiritual affliction.
All right, now let me stop for a second to address our audience, because I know we've picked up a considerably larger audience and new members across the world. And at this point, you're listening to these two people saying, this is complete and utter nonsense. This right. is insanity. And I'm with you, folks. I felt the exact same way when we had Robert on the first time. And then he was kind enough to say, well, if you've got some listeners dealing with issues, have them reach out. And we did, repeatedly. And I waited for these emails to come back and go, what a charlatan, what a hack. These people are nuts. Oh, my God. Instead, I received email after email of people that received help, and it worked. I never once received one negative email in 8 years, I think, that we've been talking back and forth. Not right. one negative email. That, to me, is astounding because people are whiners and hard to make happy as it is. And right. to reach out to you, get this help, and feel that they were adequately helped and dealt with, that's yep. that's pretty astounding. So for our listeners, that this, again, sounds so hard to gather, I'm with you. I understand that it sounds unbelievable, but I've seen right. through listeners that have reached out to me, and a few that I actually know personally, not just online friends, who have gone through Robert and Antoinette, and they're freed of the affliction they've been dealing with.
Yep.
It's yep. it's fascinating, and that's got to be very rewarding for both of you.
It's very rewarding. We say we give your life back to you.
So if you go in and you do battle 15 to 20 minutes with this thing to get it out, how worn right. out are both of you when that's over?
She gets pretty worn out.
I'll be the worn out one. because sometimes we've had up to 10 removals in a day or 15 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm actually exhausted. Extremely exhausted. Yeah.
So we can only do so many.
Per day.
Right. But there's millions of people who need this help.
Does it get Trust dangerous me. While you're in the midst of removing these?
Yes.
Do they fight back and have either
sometimes.
One of you been hurt?
Sometimes, and we were very, very aware of this because yep. they will get violent. And I'm a big guy, and I look after her, but I'm always ready for a reaction.
Mm-hmm. So a driverless car has almost killed me, a driverless car. I've been choked, physically choked.
Right.
You know, thrown down quite a bit.
Yeah, and she had to throw down issues. I was doing an interview in the hotel with a potential production company interested in what we do, and a ghost released a Murphy bed off the wall, and it came down and hit my head. I was very fortunate.
How did production deal with that? Yeah,
oh,
we better pass on this show.
Everyone was shocked.
Yeah, they were screaming. I heard a big scream right away before, what is he screaming about? And then all of a sudden that bed hit me and I was like, oh man.
And then we were able to communicate with the ghost and he was like, get out of here. Right.
Yeah.
And he was a real mad ghost, that one.
But we were able to, we just grabbed him, sent him on his way.
We do a lot of clearings of area, Dave, as well.
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. do you find that these beings that are attached, are they all human? Do you run across any that are, I know this will sound strange, but I know I'll have listeners ask, why didn't I ask this? Do you ever run across alien spirits?
You know, and this is how I answered it. We're all aliens.
Okay, but you don't see the big gray heads with the big
black eyes. See that. But occasionally, the longer that they've been ghosting, the more distorted they visually look like.
Okay.
I mean, we've had some that have been ghosting for thousands of years. They're not recognizable. They look like monsters.
Right. So they stretch out. They're almost like tar. That's what they look like. I can explain that. But that's not all of them. This is like, this was the Brazilian woman that we did. She had 26. That's the one I don't forget because it's really scary. Because they were coming across the room by 10 feet, stretching real long, skinny, and then forming into this weird face. And I was like, Oh, that one was really scary.
So yeah, another serial attacher. So these guys are pretty wise. They've been on the earth for a long, long time, and they know what's going on. We can't see them, so it's almost like they get away with everything. Yeah.
All right, you start doing your work. You reach in. You realize that you're up against more than one spirit, how long, when you realize all of a sudden they've got 10, 15, 30, 40 attachments, how long does it take you to fling these suckers out? And when you're throwing one out, is another one trying to crawl back in?
Oh, no way. Because they basically know it's curtains. Once they come with us, because of our team, it's just not us, but we have a great team on the other side.
Right,
so
right.
With that, we feel really good. If we didn't have that team on their side, believe me, I would not be doing this.
I'm curious, Antoinette, you said one of the guides that helps you right now is a young man that passed away in 9/11 at the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His name is Lane.
Okay. And have you been able to track that this matches with the person that did die in the Twin Towers?
You know what? It's a long explanation.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't believe he even worked at the... He didn't work at the World Trade Center. He was doing other things at the time.
Well, I'll be frank. He was a thief.
Yeah.
And he would run up and down the elevators and try to get tourists, pickpocket them. So he wasn't even known to be there. He didn't work in the towers, but him and his buddies would run the elevator, go up, try and get a purse or something. He was 18 years old at the time. Now, him being the thief, you wouldn't think, he would have issues crossing over to the other side. But on his way down, he would have escaped the World Trade Center, but he stopped to help a handicapped man. In that stopping to help the handicapped man, it cost him his life, which in turn exalted him on the other side. So all of a sudden now we have a special person. And he was so appreciative of us for moving so many ghosts from that site that he came back and wanted to work with us.
Has he ever asked you to reach out to his human family to let them know?
No, his life wasn't a very good life. So
But most of them don't want to reach out to anyone either. And a lot of ghosts that come that we move, they're not even the same name. Some of them know their name before and some of them don't.
Yeah.
And that's what we found out too. So it's a whole wide spectrum of different things that go on during the transition period from here to
the other side. Yeah.
Does it ever get dangerous for the afflicted while you're trying to kick these beings out? Do they ever cause physical or mental harm to the victim at the time?
It really depends. Sometimes you see convulsions. The person go through convulsions, or you will hear a loud yell or
growling.
Or growling. Yeah.
That one's really scary. Or a big, smelly, stinky thing.
And it can actually fill the room full of funk, depending how old that thing is.
Well, then when I'm in California in a few weeks, maybe you guys should exorcise me. My kids would like to find whatever smells like it died in me and get it excommunicated. So
we had one case where we did the removal from the guy, and the woman said later that he doesn't stink anymore.
Oh, that's right. That's the NO. Right?
Yeah.
Really?
So, yeah. It's incredible. And then we had another one where we did the removal on the old the mom who's like in her 80s. And we did the removal, and she came back a few weeks later, and the mom told her, I don't have that voice in my head to tell me to steal anymore. The woman had been arrested twice for shoplifting.
Wow.
Yeah, so, there's so many of them.
So, I got a story for you. So, we always get calls from out of the country or up north just a little bit here. So, this is one of my favorite ones. So, it's a little boy. This guy calls and goes, hey, I need some help with my child. He's talking to Bob. He's real wild. That's what he says to Bob. But so he drives him all the way from Oregon to here. Comes in, and this kid is acting like a lion. He is like literally 5 or 6 years old, right?
6 years old.
Six. And he is pacing like a lion, growling, getting on all fours like Mowgli, and running in our office, jumping up on stuff just like a cat. And it turns out he is attached by cats and some Indians. And then it turns out that he is half Indian, right?
Right.
Yeah. So anyhow, he was super hard to catch because he's a cat. He's running around. He's doing all these things. then the father finally gets him, and he's kind of holding him and cradling him. And Lane and I were able to remove him. And it was super duper hard, by the way. I've never removed large cats off of anybody. And we did this, and he fell asleep right in his dad's arms, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they go out into the office because we have many removals this day. And my next removal comes in. And when I was done with that removal, I opened the door, and there he is. He's standing there talking to his mom like a child. Oh, like nothing ever was on him.
Yeah.
It was very, very cool. Very cool.
That was very satisfying.
Yes.
Because now they have the son back. But the mom had told us that actually when he was a couple years previously, he was saying, I'm the mom. I'm the boss here. But it was a female mountain lion.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So these Indians had actually allowed, they're the ones, because we were kind of blown away. We go, well, this is a first. We haven't really taken an animal off of somebody. But the Indians were the ones who actually allowed it or captured the mountain lion to bring her in.
Yeah, it was that was a real rough one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we've had another child that was possessed by a...
Now, hold on. Was that another motorcycle or something that just went by?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that was a kind of, yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway,
the reason I'm mentioning it is I know I'm going to get 100 emails from people going, right when she said that, did you hear the loud? Because that sounded like almost like a low rumble lion roar that just happened. I wanted to make sure we're good
perfect.
To go.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So this other child was attached by her previous, isn't it her previous life?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Another one, but that was a whole different thing. It wasn't attached, but it was living the remnants of its previous life.
Okay.
And that was a child, 4 years old, 5 years old, getting kicked out of school for all these things. And they said, well, can you check her for an attachment? And it was another oddity. No, that's a remnant from a previous life coming in and still trying to live. And they said, well, it's going to take about 14 months and that remnant will leave. But it was really psychologically hard on parents. A kid had got kicked out of preschool.
She was talking inappropriately. She's doing all these things that the 10-year-old, which that was the 10-year-old right. on the war, right?
Well, yeah, it was a kid from England who was a street, they called it a street urchin because it was homeless and all. So a lot of times, you know, everything that we deal with is a lot of tragedy. That occurs in people's lives that allows this stuff to occur.
The past lives aspect really fascinates me. Uh-huh. The remnants of our past lives can be trying to take over, edge out our personality here. How do we know that it's not a ghost? I mean, is there any telltale signs for me before I even come to a Robert Major and his sister Antoinette to know that this is a reflection from a past life as opposed to an evil entity trying to gain control?
Yeah, well, that's what we're always checking on. But I'd say that your previous lives have a lot of effect on the life that you're living now. That's understood.
Right.
When you have this kind of thing, it's an anomaly. It's not really a normal, but we've had a few cases of it. And we needed that explanation because we said, hey, this just isn't right. We could see the child change right in front of us. All of a sudden, a very gentle female little girl, all of a sudden it changed. You could see it in its eye like it was ready to strangle you.
And so, this is a four-year-old beautiful little girl.
Right.
And all of a sudden she turned into something very creepy.
Right.
Well, yeah. I have a few daughters I've seen that happen with. I don't know if that's paranormal or they're just not getting their way. But, boy, either way, they're terrifying. Listen, we have to take a quick break. We've got more coming your way as we continue to talk about Ghost Remover. We've got Robert Major, his sister Antoinette is here with us as we discuss some more of the cases they've worked on. We'll do that when we return to Beyond the Darkness.
All right, let me break. If there's anyone here, you can speak to me now through this device.
Not Ted Madison.
How many people are here with me right now? Where exactly are you?
Hello, welcome back to the show. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Today, we're talking with Robert Major, his sister Antoinette. They are the Ghost Removers. As a matter of fact, we've had them on the show, I think, about four or five times over the years. Have had listeners reach out to them, come to them from other states to try to get rid of attachments, to get answers. And as I said earlier on in the show, what fascinates me, I've never had one email negative ever about what the work is that these two do. As fascinating and as far-fetched as it sounds, and it still does, Robert, I hope that's not a slam to you, but it's just to think this is what's going on. To the layman, to the person like myself without these abilities, it just sounds insane. But we know there's something going on. There is this epidemic. There is this haunting that's going on around the world, and it seems to be getting stronger, and we seem to be getting more and more interactive as we're hearing from all different cultures and all around the world. Is there truly a thinning of the veil going on right now?
There definitely is. They're stepping way out of bounds. They're starting to really, really affect. If you heard recently about that eighth grader who killed his dad's girlfriend because he had a man inside of him, Jeff, he did it. The kid actually called 911 himself and said, "Hey, look, I just killed my dad's girlfriend, but it wasn't me. It was this guy, Jeff, inside of me." And these are the things that we really would like to bring out and say, "Hey, look, at this kid's not crazy." What they do, the ghost can morph into themselves if for just moments, if that's all it takes. And we know that this occurs. I mean, we have a link on Beyonce on my site where you could see her morph during her presentation at her presentation for the Super Bowl, and her eyes go completely black. Her arms start getting larger, her neck bulges, and so that entity is morphing at that time. So we know that so many times, all this unexplainable, what possessed this person to do that? The guy who did the driving in New York and Times Square and run over the people. We know he is heavily attached. We do know that the guy who killed Chris Kyle was attached, the Navy SEAL. But we can't stop it. All we can do is tell you, be aware of radical changes in behavior. And once you see that, if all of a sudden the guy's okay yesterday, and all of a sudden today, he's acting really strange. Well, to me, I'm going to look for an attachment.
Couldn't it just be that some people are just evil, Robert, and they're going to make bad choices? Does it mean that there is a paranormal or supernatural element driving them?
Well, of course, that's what we when he's in eighth grade, we're suspicious because why should he be evil at that age? We do know that a lot of these attachments are very evil, and that's why they didn't cross over to go back to the other side, because they know that it's not going to look good for them over there. So they stay here, still continuing that evil behavior. And that's all we can help you with. Hopefully we can close the opening. Hopefully we can remove the attachment and you can live your life. I mean, if it happens after the fact, I'm sorry. What are we going to tell the courts? Oh, this kid was attached. He murdered his dad's girlfriend and it really wasn't him. No, it's not going to work.
That is a fascinating story. I'm going to definitely have to look into that for our True Crime Tuesday shows. I wasn't even aware of that story.
Yeah, it was out of Ohio about 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Huh. Just called eighth grader. Eighth grader kills dad's girlfriend. So, yeah, I actually sent it to the attorneys for him. I said, "Hey, look, the kid's actually telling the truth."
And it's just doing our part.
Yeah, so. I work so hard just to do what I do. Yeah.
When you see a case like that, and you see that horrible outcome, I mean, that is like a horror movie. The yeah. idea that these spirits can move in, move a person against their own free will.
Right.
To do something that harmful.
Yeah.
How are they, gaining this much more power now, Robert?
Well, you know, it takes more than one attachment. That's what we're finding out. Like a lot of them will bring in sub attachments, but the sub attachments won't actually be able to control. What they do is provide more energy for the takeover. So, like I said, a lot of people are living with an attachment or two, but when it starts getting to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, then we got to start worrying about, wow, what's going to happen with this person in time.
And we actually have a story about a guy and his mother, and they were both attached.
Right.
So
yeah, that, and this guy was a great guy. He just, everyone loved him, and he moved back east to take over the family business. And but little did he know, his mom heavily attached. Now this guy went through this big breakup, and he gets attached. All of a sudden, the attachments start fighting each other. The attachments, yeah, so they're not even involved. The attachments are battling each other. And he ends up actually killing his mom and killing himself. Yeah. So,
that
I mean,
is
again,
unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, and there's nothing I can do. If I would have been able to see him beforehand, we could have circumvented that. But
again, the spirits are aware of each other. And they are not only interacting with the human form, but they're interacting with the other ethereal creatures around us.
Exactly. That's why we say attachments run in families. If one person gets attached, another person, the family gets attached. All of a sudden, now you have all these mini dramas going on. A lot of these battles in homes where they're fighting and fighting. Those are attachments a lot of times, just battling.
I mean, and then now the attachments actually recognize Bob and I.
Right. They know who we are. And it's kind of creepy.
Well, Antoinette, like, you know, we talk about free will, and it's always been this comfort to many of us that the demonic realm and things that go bump in the night do not have permission to do anything unless we let them in, as though we've given permission. Are you seeing that they don't need permission? They're just doing it on their own accord?
They absolutely don't need permission to come into your space. I got to tell you, two or three nights ago, I almost called Bob at 2 a.m. because I'm trying to go to sleep, right? And next thing you know, shuffling's going around in my room. So I hear my fish is going absolutely crazy, right? And I'm thinking, what is this? But then I look and I see an entity, but he's like, he kind of like was squatting down a little bit. And then I just dismissed him. You know, I just said, okay, don't be afraid of him. Turn on the light and go to sleep like that. And that's what I did. I just turned on the light and went to sleep. But he kept shuffling in my room, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't. If there's a break in that field, they just go right in there as if they own it. When we did a removal years ago.
Well, wait, why aren't we protected? Why don't our guardians or our angels or God kind of make sure that these fissures are not open and allowing things in?
Right. Well, that's why we have to prevent the damage. We cannot abuse children. We cannot do heavy drugs. We cannot go into fits of depression. I mean, this is a free will universe or space. So there's really not God up there dictating about, I'm going to help this person, but not this person. It's actually a hands off. We're in this space, and we are the ones who are supposed to take care of it. This knowledge it should be out there, and it you know, I think it was out a long time ago, but then you know the powers that be kind of just kind of like put it off,
sweep it under the rug.
Yeah, so. I mean, I've been in touch with the Catholic Church, and I said, hey, look, we can do this we can help you with this. And it was the guy who they did the movie The Ride on. It was Father Gary Thomas. And I'm talking to him. I said, I said, you know, we do this all the time. He goes, well, I've done maybe 5 exorcisms. He goes, but I can't tell if they're crazy or they need exorcism. I said, well, that's the difference between the two. We can do that. And, you know, it seems so crazy, but we treat it like it's
like our everyday thing.
Yeah, everyday life.
So yeah, that is our everyday life. And there's the one girl who came in, and she was actually, you know, she was a bit crazy.
Right.
The one that screamed.
Really oh loud. Yes, it scared the heck out of me. I'm still here. Oh God.
And yeah. She was actually just crazy.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
But we knew it, and so we just said, okay, well, we'll see you later.
I have to just guide you right out right now.
Yeah. Because we know who's crazy and.
Yeah, if they have mental issues, I mean. That's the other thing too. If they can have mental issues and then get attached, and it just compounds the mental problems. So I mean, we could take them off and then let the person go back out into the world, and hopefully they can find whatever medical help. So like I said before, we could take the attachments, but not the crazy, right?
Well, and for our listeners, I did a little research on this. The Ohio teen. Now, I don't know. Is this a different one? I'm picking this up from April 11th. Urbana, Ohio. Authorities say a 14-year-old Ohio boy told a 911 dispatcher that an alternate personality was responsible for killing his father's girlfriend.
That's the one.
Right. Says here, the Springfield News-Sun reports the eighth grader told a dispatcher last week after the slaying that another person inside of me was responsible for stabbing and shooting 4-year-old Heidi Taylor at the home she shared with the teen and his father in Mad River Township, about 50 miles west of Columbus. The teen has been charged with aggravated murder in Champaign County Juvenile Court. His attorney says the teen has mental issues. Now, they're referring to it as a split personality. It says here, the teen described Taylor as his mother in the 911 call and said that he hates his alternate personality named Jeff, who was going to make him die in prison.
Right. Yeah, it's exactly true. He's got this guy on him, Jeff. And if we were to meet with the kid, we could take Jeff out of there, and the kid can go back to himself, just like the kid who had the mountain lion, and live a regular life. Now he's going to be into the court systems. He's still got Jeff there with him, and his life is kind of shot.
Unbelievable. That's really creepy. The idea of that. But again, is it a split personality? Is it a spirit? I mean, they're saying he had mental issues.
Yeah, of course he has mental issues when he calls somebody and says he's got a guy inside of him, because they don't understand right now that this actually occurs. I mean, there's so many cases of this. I mean, I always look for them, the person who hears voices, and right. they create all kinds of havoc. And then like with the woman Sybil. I don't know. I mean, that was one of our researchers way back. She had 62 different personalities, supposedly. No, she didn't have 62 different personalities. She had 62 different ghosts in there. I mean, no, I don't care whose mind you're at into. Nobody's that creative that can create 62 different personalities. I'm just, you know, it's kind of like a medical model that they want to present, because they don't understand the spiritual ramifications.
Oh, what when you're facing cases like this, and you've got these angry spirits that are part of, you know, the person you're trying to help, you have to call in help from the other side to aid you in moving these spirits on while they're battling to fight for their deal. Are they threatening to you? Are they alerting other spirits to come for you? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, well, again, like I said, if we didn't have the help on the other side, there's no way we could do this. Eventually, they would just get us, you know. It's so widespread. Like I said, there's millions and millions of these ghosts out there, and they're looking to nest. You know, they're looking to go in and further their life. I just wish that we could get a bigger venue here, so we'd like to do mass removals if we could. But I don't know if that
now
that,
this comes off like the big old style tent revivals where they're given a healing today, right? And the light of God's going to come through my hand, and for $50, I will separate you from the demons that afflict your lives, right? And you know, are you worried that there's going to be this stigma that will be attached to the good work you're doing, that you will look like these snake oil salesmen?
Well, of course, that's going to occur in certain people's mind, especially the scientist. I love the scientist. And I said, well, you're a scientist. You don't really believe any of this, and you're much smarter than I am. So that's kind of like a little levity there. But yeah, once you see what we do, and when that little kid is now you're back in your arms as a sweet child again, what can you say? It's a lot of people. Oh, it was the what's that thing there? The Pavlov's dog or whatever, you know, it was the expectation or whatever. But when we see every single time the changes in these people, we can't give up. We just keep going at it every week.
Antoinette, let's hear another one of your more scary encounters that you've had to deal with when doing this. And I'm just curious, do the evil or dark entities realize you're coming? Do they start messing and mucking about with you, trying to hurt you or scare you off before you even get the call?
Oh, yes. Okay, so here's one. So I'm coming up the freeway driving to the office, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, I get this big fear of gloom, right? Doom, whatever. And I'm crying, right? I get to the office, and there's actually those attachments are doing that exact same thing on a lady.
Right.
Yeah. And so that'll creep me out a little bit. Kind of feels like I'm going to get a panic attack maybe. Or I've been sitting. I used to smoke cigarettes back in 2000. I think it was 2000, maybe 8 or 9. No, it had to have been like 2010. So I'm sitting on the porch. It's Easter Sunday. And it's early in the morning. I'm having a cigarette. And the car across the street and diagonal. So it's parallel parked, but it's across the street, diagonal, right? And, parallel. So I hear it start up, and I'm just sitting there smoking. And it comes down the street. It's two houses down. So it comes. Then it starts to come into my driveway, but the tree, the way the shadows were, the tree is making the windshield a little dark, right? So I just think it's the neighbor. They're, you know, going to turn around. Well, as soon as it gets to the driveway, it floors it like, boom, and I had to jump, and it went straight into my house. Well, there was no driver. And there was no driver. The airbag went off, and it was grinding, the truck was going whoom, whoom, trying to go through my house. And my roommate came out, and he's like, who hit it? And I'm like, no one. There's no one in there. And he's like, what? So he goes over, and he opens the door to shut the car off. There's no key. And he steps on the brake and shuts the car off. And it is a stick shift car, truck, little tiny truck. And I'm just sitting there, you know, I was like, oh my gosh. Well, prior to that, there was a evil entity on a nurse, and this is she was real, she wasn't going anywhere. This is what she had said that was going to happen, and then she just kind of left or something. I can't recall that particular.
She was going to see us in 2 days. Oh, so okay. This happened on a Sunday. Her appointment was on a Tuesday. So we were going to do the removal. Well, this ghost definitely did not want this to happen. It was trying to scare my sister away from me actually doing this. This is what we come to find out later. So a lot of these people in these professions, like hospitals where people die, or jails where people they have so many attachments on them that they're not themselves anymore. I can tell you, working around graveyards, you better be a little careful. There are so many spaces out in the world. Like you're going, I understand you're going to go see the castle, you know, the over in Romania. And there's so much darkness there. I mean, you got to be aware. That's for sure.
Not on darkness radio trips, Robert Major. We'll be protected because we'll all be getting hugs from Darkness Dave. Don't try to scare people off my trips, Major. What are you doing?
No, I'm just saying, you got to be aware. we were doing some removals the other day out of a space, and there's all these ghosts there. And then we're doing the removals, and all of a sudden they said, well, we're going to remove the ghost slaves. And I said, what do you mean ghost slaves? There are actually ghost slaves that other ghosts control. And I was, that kind of blew me away. I was like, whoa.
Because we were clearing an area and there was over 600 or 700, right?
Right.
Of these ghosts. Some were Indian, some were slaves. And they were ghost slaves is what we're
talking about. They said, yeah, they would, they're at their beck and will. Whatever that ghost says, that ghost slave has to go do. And I'm thinking, man, this is just getting really, really crazy. Yeah.
You're running into ghosts that are controlling other ghosts.
Other ghosts.
Yeah, this was our first time ever, though.
That we heard of a ghost slave.
Yeah, so we learn new things practically almost every time we go into session.
Yeah.
Do you go to locations that have not asked for your help, like the Queen Mary? And if you encounter a ghost, do you fling them out?
Yeah, you know what? They have every right to be there as long as they're not disrupting. Then that's what we're told. Hey, we can't take every ghost out because that's their freedom of choice. If they want a ghost, they can ghost.
If they want a ghost, they can ghost.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about it.
That's right.
But if
they start causing problems, yeah.
All right. Well, how do we, if it's so easy to get an attachment, guys, and these things can drain us and drain our lives, how do we start to protect ourselves so that we are not, you know, fodder and feed for these entities?
Well, first off, you got to keep strong. I know that a lot of love will protect a child. I know that if you don't go off and start abusing, substance abuse or that you don't get in a big downward spiral in your life, that you're pretty much protected. Now, we would like to say that if people would just come and see us, that we could seal any openings that they have where they can crawl in.
Well, we will definitely, I'll have to meet up with you guys when I'm out in California in a few weeks because I have a few holes that could be plugged.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and we'll tell you a lot of stuff.
I can pick that up from time to time that there's something there. You know, it's funny as we do this interview today, I'm doing this from our home as we have the holiday week and did not have a chance to get into the actual studios to do recording over the weekend as we normally do. So I'm recording this from home. And as we've been talking, I can see by my stairway, the little child ghost that's in my home. I can see it keep poking its head around the corner.
Right.
So now is there a difference between having a haunting and an attachment? Because I can see the spirit.
Yeah, that's a spirit that's probably comes and goes. And no problem. I mean, but maybe if the child needs to go, we can assist the child to cross. But if he wants to stay,
be concerned as a parent? I have children in this home, and I know that there's an entity here. It usually takes the form of a child, and I've seen it. I've had friends that are here as we're sitting on the couch watching a movie. We saw it come running down the stairs and into the living room. We saw it, and none of my children were here.
Right.
But have the children seen it?
Are they aware?
You know, I try to play it down. I don't really talk about it because I don't want to put that mindset in fear. So I don't really know that. But, you know, I mean, again, you know, it makes me wonder because you're.
What about imaginary friends, Dave?
No. My kids are all kind of out of that age range. But, you know, but the emotional influx in my home is obscene at times. You know, and I understand I've got a lot of, you know, female energy in my home because I've got three daughters and a son and a lot of chaos because everybody's coming into different parts of their life and puberty and pre-puberty and you know, so there's all this energy. But you know, there are times I'm thinking are one or two of these spirits actually mucking with the personalities of my children because of how radically they can change.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we ask people, say, if you got questions, let us know. Send us the name at birth and the birth date. This is how we do it. And that's what Ghost Remover is about in Robert Afterlife. So we get a lot of people sending us stuff. And then we respond as much as we can. we had a case where a kid, he was 10 years old, but he was totally acting up and he causing so much problems in the home. We come to find out he was attached by like a 14-year-old ghost who had died in that neighborhood, causing him to act like a rebel, like a teenager that didn't want to hear anything. We did the removal. The kid went back to normal again. So you just don't know.
So it's got to be, and now it's obvious, the whole situation I'm dealing with here, Robert, is that I am attached by a fat 40-some-year-old ghost that loves hot dogs and McRib sandwiches.
Exactly, and potato chips.
It's got to be that, right? Although I'm afraid if I get rid of that spirit, my flavor for life is going to go downhill considerably. Really like that stuff. I get it, and I understand that there is, you know, these issues. Are religious amulets and things, are they helpful in these situations for fending off negative energies? Holy water, sage.
They tell us amethyst that works as a deterrent.
Okay.
So we tell people, well, get some amethyst, see if that helps you. And what was it? There's something about salts. So they say they don't like salts. So we do our best to like, hey, you know, but the people who know us. And if they do have a case where they do get reattached, well, we just pull it off again. Yeah.
But if you're going in and sealing the fissure, how are they getting reattached?
Well, their behavior. They're supposed to follow a prescription to get that to, because just like stitching up a wound, you have to wait for the wound to heal. You just can't go back out and do crazy behaviors. So a lot of these people were just like maybe excessive drinking, and that's our biggest problem right there.
It's partying, and then once they get partying again, then
they're open to reattachments.
Reattachments for sure,
because the attachments want to have a good time. Attachments just want to have fun.
Oh, Jesus. How is it, though? I mean, they're spirits. They can't taste. They can't sense.
Oh, they can.
Oh, they can.
Oh, yes, they can.
Oh, really? So do they attach and possess? I mean, is there a difference between an attachment and possession?
They attach, influence, and possess. Attach, influence. We had a case, a 74-year-old guy comes in. We know he's attached. And we do the removal. The daughter calls us a few days later, says, you know, my dad always drank vodka, and then all of a sudden, a few years ago, he started drinking bourbon. But once you did that removal, he went back to drinking vodka.
So you got rid of that bourbon demon.
That's a bourbon demon.
Yeah, but the vodka one's tight. He's holding for dear life.
He owned the vodka one.
Okay.
After we do removals, after we do them and the person is still in their relaxed state, Bob usually gives them hypnosis script and their prescription from the other side about how to not get attached and how to further and better themselves. So they also get that when they come in. That's why, if they're feeling, if your listeners know anyone who's feeling out of sorts, or they are, or they know things aren't right, you know, they can always email us and we can check them for attachments. I mean, that's no problem at all.
All right. That is something we will look into and let our listeners know again. For that, what's the best way to reach both of you?
Well, yeah, they can go on the site and read a little bit more on ghostremover.com. If they want to email us, then they send an email to robertafterlife@gmail.com.
robertafterlife@gmail.com.
Right.
All right. I've got an interesting question to throw you here, Robert. As a clinical hypnotherapist.
Right.
I have, as I've been very open about talking on the show, I've had an overwhelming bone-chilling fear of death since I was very young, from an age where death should not really even be a concept that would bother me.
Right. Yeah. A lot of times that occurs when somebody close dies and the child doesn't really understand. And you tend to manifest in that way. A lot of times fear of flying is a fear of death. So that occurs too. So normally it's when somebody passes at an early age.
So is that a remnant from a past life that's still affecting me,
It actually could be.
And Kent, yeah. Is that something that could be cured? Because, you know, I've talked about it so much on air that I've had listeners reach out in droves saying, you know, this is the same unequivocal fear I have, that and it's so irrational, it's so stupid, but it's there. Is that something that could be cured through hypnotherapy?
Yeah, I mean, I have total confidence in you know, swaying the subconscious mind to suit your needs versus its needs. The subconscious mind is your tool, and that's why I was always fascinated with hypnosis. I saw the major changes occur in people in hours versus months of therapy.
All right, that's something we'll definitely have to talk about off air, and then I can let our listeners know about that as well, because that's something that, you know, as I rapidly approach 50 this November, and I realize I've got a lot more years behind me than I do in front of me now.
Well, mortality does raise its head.
Yes, and you start realizing that and looking into it. The fear has only gotten worse over the years, but I wasn't sure if that was something that growing up in a haunted house, was it because the spirits in the house were fearful of death and mm-hmm. I was resonating with that energy for so long that made it a part of me?
Yeah. I mean, there could be so many ways. But if you get to meet with us, or we get to meet with you in a few weeks, maybe we can help you with that, because the spirit guides have access to a lot of your data banks.
What about our family members? If we're with somebody at the time of their passing, is there a chance that they can attach to us as well?
We've had one case of that only. One case. So it normally, when people pass, you know, they go to the light or whatever, and what they say. Well, that's your, you know, it's almost like your Uber coming to pick you up when you pass. Well, if you reject the ride, you're here, and there's not another Uber coming. So that's what we try to do is create a vehicle for people who didn't cross over when they should have. So a lot of times that we're here to move the ghost.
The idea that we are being visited, that we have this epidemic, this unseen epidemic surrounding us, an invisible epidemic, as you put it, with ghosts, and it's getting more and more prevalent.
Right.
Have we done something to predicate this, you know, in our living years?
I think a lot of the things that go on the earth, I think when all the wars and all the, I mean, you know how many Indians still walk the earth here? They tend not to leave. They're just say, hey, this is our spot. This is our land. We're staying. And there's not much we can do about that, because they have every right. So I think it's really, really a lot about misconduct. Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, it's always fascinating catching up with you, and I'm sure you'll be hearing from our listeners again. robertafterlife@gmail.com is the way to email them if you have questions, concerns, and thoughts. And I know sometimes it does take them a little bit of time to get back to you, because they will get overwhelmed by emails. And the website, again, they can check out?
Yeah, that's ghostremover.com.
Ghostremover.com. Antoinette, Robert, thank you for the work you do and for keeping us up to date. The books are out and available right now, The Invisible Epidemic Ghosts. That's one of the books. There's also the biography of an exorcist that talks about the work Robert's done. So we'll have links to those and ways to find those and make the purchase. We wish you both a lot of success in the future, and keep us in mind with more stories as they become available.
Okay, Dave.
Perfect. Thanks, Dave.
And then hopefully we'll see you in a few weeks.
Bye. Yeah, and then, you know, I'll do a review on this. Not a review on you, but I mean a review of this with Tim in studio, and tell him what occurred when we had a chance to meet. So we'll work on that for the future. Tomorrow we have M.L. Behrman, who's going to join us. We're going to talk about mysterious Mojave, all of the strange things that happen in the Mojave, from ghosts to cryptids to demonic cults, mysterious murders, all kinds of weird things. That's tomorrow on the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.